then. And I will continue with the talk on how I used OpenACS and IXO workflow to support my PhD work of doing experimentation, so experiments in software engineering, which results in this Storyboard toolkit. And I will specifically talk about the tool support for experimentation in this context. And in this context, I think it's important to talk a little bit about what and why. So why am I doing, where is this coming from, what do I mean by tool support and experimentation, and why do we need this, or why did I do that? So for context, the Storyboard toolkit as itself consists or is emerging or emerged out of my PhD work, and it consists of two artifacts, so to say. One is domain-specific language, a small domain-specific language that was written in NX Pickle, and the other artifact is a web-based environment to actually support and to run an experiment with users using this DSL. And the specific goal here was to have multiple notations, multiple syntax variants for DSL, and to explore and investigate whether these different notations have an influence on efficiency, effectiveness, and usability when you, as a user, are actually creating something. And this creating something is the context of teaching, basically, so e-learning. So the authoring process of a teacher creating a learning module. Yeah? So this is technology-enhanced learning context for the DSL. So this also provides then the requirement to actually have a tool that you can hand out to the user, and the user participating in the experiment that we did. We can't tell him to download Eclipse and install another plugin and then have this language configured somewhere, but we just basically tell him, be there at this time, and then we do the experiment and just visit the following link, and this link is the link to the tool support to run the experiment. So the user that is aimed for is somebody who is teaching but not focused on computer science, maybe somebody doing business economics or anything else like this. So out of this, the requirement grew to have an appropriate tool to provide to the participants in the experiment. And yeah, just for the focus, like the DSL is called Storyboard Language, and the environment, I'm calling it now just the experiment environment. And also for context, the naming. So the naming lends itself from the film industry, just inspired by the term storyboard, yeah, and also inspired by the conceptual idea of a language-based approach for authoring, for creating something, which we, I think, now are even more confronted with all the prompting interfaces. But the basic idea is that you have domain expert, in this case a teacher, and this teacher inputs some kind of language-based input, yeah, that is now in this case one part of the notation, and then he moves on into further authoring, for example the form or whatever it is that you continue editing in, yeah. But still, from a research perspective, when creating this, the question is, yeah, why choose a certain notation? Yeah? There's has not been too much work about this specific view onto, okay, why are we actually creating notation as it is? And is there something influencing how fast you're working with it, and so on, the usability and the receivability? And the specific thing is that the DSL is not aimed at persons that may be programmers, but persons that may have no experience with using a language-based approach to author. So that's the context about the storyboard name and the idea behind it. And for this also, there are other approaches, so it's not nothing out of the world to have, for example, D2Lang with the declarative diagramming options, or BPMN SketchMiner, which greatly inspired how I designed the interface on this one page, where you have also inspired by the concept of a sketch that you take for a note, and from these sketches of noting down natural text, a process model is then generated out of this text. That's quite interesting and inspiring. And also in the e-learning context, there's Lia script, so it's using Markdown to create a learning module. Yeah. But then again, the question is why use Markdown? Yeah. What is there a better way of doing it? Maybe also. And other domains like the railway engineering processes also looks in this. So for the storyboard language for the DSL, in the process of doing my research, I focused on two notations. Obviously, there are more notations, but in the process of doing the work, I boiled it down to these two notations. So the first one being more of a key-value notation, having a key of module with sub-key values, and then a more controlled natural language type notation, where you have keywords that define a certain command, and you can then add things to that. Yeah? So it's not natural language in the sense of just a prompt, but controlled natural language where you have predefined settings to create the content. Now, the context is experimentation in software engineering. So there's this work by Wolin et al. Looking into the empirical strategies of how to think about how to empirically evaluate and decide on in this case which notation should I use and how do I set up this experiment. And it's not only the experiment, you can do a survey, etc. These are strategies. I am specifically focusing on the controlled experiment in this case, and using these experiments to confirm a theory in the sense of relationship between variables, or even just trying to validate if you are measuring the correct thing, yeah, which is hard for itself. And the specific challenge here is that the experiment isn't just something where you say, here's a piece of paper, please fill out this form and thank you. But you have to think about several process steps. And these process steps, in a very basic view, are you have an idea about a question, a research question, what you want to look into, and then you start planning it and scoping it in the sense of thinking about how many participants do you need, what is the statistical power involved, where do we actually source participants, how can we randomize this in a way that it holds up to the threats of validity, and then you actually have in the middle here this actual phase of where you interact with the participants of the experiment, where you give them the task, what they need to do, and that's called the experiment operation. And after that, you have steps of analysis, cleaning the data, interpreting, etc., and reporting on it. So from just now looking at the experiment operation step, yeah, this step involves for the actual experiment operation several tasks I needed to set up in the sense of inviting participants to the Zoom and to a Zoom session. So in this case, I did it with Zoom because I couldn't invite the participants on campus. For all of them, start the session, have them look into attention pledge, so be aware that they have to be attending this, and then actually explaining to them what they need to do, so explaining to them the environment, explaining to them also the DSL that they will be using via video notation, and then actually the actual, where I'm focusing on is this experiment task. So the participants would then have to, in my case, create something with this notation. It could also be a different task. It could be you are shown some code and you need to find the errors, for example. That would be a different type of task in the sense of maintenance. In my case, I was focusing on, okay, maybe this one notation is faster to create something than the other notation. So they had to create something in this case. And for the tool support, I'm actually focusing on this specific task. Yeah? Which happens two times because it's a crossover design experiment. And yeah, now when I started working on this, the honest message is I started working on this and I simply created it. Yeah, I looked a little bit into some tools, but I created it because I needed it. And then afterwards I looked into what's already out there. It's not probably the best way to do it. But luckily, I found out that, okay, so in behavioral science, there's a lot of tools to support this, but these tools cannot be used to support the software engineering aspect, so of creating something, implementing the code, etc. And these tools are well maintained, so they're actively maintained, and that would be a good option to go to. But for the software engineering community also, there were a lot of tools. However, if you look at most of them were not actively maintained. Most of them, like none of them, were actively maintained anymore because they were developed at institutional university, and then they left or moved on. So the only real options I would have had were XBDSL, then the tool by ESA et al. And K-Alpha. However, when looking into them, XBDSL actually is more focused on setting up the scoping and planning of an experiment, and HESA is, when looking into HESA et al., which used the meta programming system to create this tool support, they support the complete process, so all the steps you saw before, which I was not interested in because it's too many steps to focus on, and also they were moving towards an industrial solution, so making it closed source. And K-Alpha was not reachable in the sense of nothing to really download code or try it out. Yeah? So in this sense, I didn't have to argue why I didn't use something like this, but anyways, just to give the context, there's stuff out there. Still, in my case, I focused on developing it myself with OpenACS and XO Workflow. Just to give you a view of what this looks like, K-Alpha communicates these elements of setting up the experiment. So that's a form-based offering where you set up all the variables. XBDSL, for example, has all these details about setting, so focusing on the process and the metrics that you're actually using, and what the experiment is then displayed in the groups, and what kind of questionnaires are inserted at which step. And then you use again different tools to have the workflows behind them, and then the different participants executing the actual experiment. So there's a lot of details also to think about in this case. And the most interesting tool that is out there but closed source is this integrated solution using meta programming system, where they look at the complete steps. So the steps I also showed you before: setting up the experiment, planning the experiment, choosing the design type, and then actually going to the execution, and then analyzing the details and using this to present it. They actually have a DSL also inside this in this MPS plugin. Now here they are also comparing two DSLs against each other, and the results are then already generating a plot. So this kind of fully integrated looks nice and gives you the support, the tool support for the complete process. But again, I was more interested in having the working solution for the actual experiment operation. So out of these, the requirements for conducting this experiment and for the tool side were to enable the user, the participant, to use the DSL and to do in a way a controlled task of creating something with the DSL. I had to make sure that I could measure some variables. You will see that there's not too many variables I measured, but at least somehow I want to measure the time, and that for itself is a challenge in the sense of how do you define the task completion time? Yeah? When does the person start and when does the person stop? And things like this.
Bathroom breaks.
Bathroom breaks, you cannot control this, etc. So yeah, all these things, and then having some guidance for the participants in the experiment of telling them, okay, now you are about to start, please be aware, and so on, and when you are ready, then click start. So all these minor things that also influence the results of an experiment. So we need some kind of way to control this. We need a web-based execution environment, web-based environment, because we have participants from all over the world taking part in the experiment. We want to provide the experiment material, so in the sense of, as this is a crossover design, you have to have different instruction tasks for different participants in order to have this also randomized and kind of reducing the bias. So you have to prepare all these instruction materials and have this systematically presented to them. Some kind of role-based viewing in the sense of the me as an admin and the participant as an unregistered user visiting the OpenACS version, and getting only what he should use. And the one-page interface in the sense of inspired by the PPMN SketchMiner. I like this view of the editing environment, the simple approach. So that was something I was personally aiming for, but still. And in the end, also persisting the experimental data that we collected. So having some kind of safe way of not then needing to export this number there and put this one in the CSV file there, but just have a download. Like if you can export, you can export on OpenACS and get an XOTP file, and then you have all the data in there. Yeah, that's very helpful. So these requirements and more were there, but these are the main requirements working for. And in this sense, I maybe just showcase the experiment environment before going into the experiment environment. I just have a short pinpoint to the storyboard language. So the language itself was implemented with Tickle and NX. It was mock-up driven in the sense of that I had an idea about the notation, and then I created this notation. It is a textual notation, so it's using text elements, not a graphical notation where you can drag and drop things. And it's embedded in the sense of an embedded DSL, so it's created through NX. And the two notations, we already saw them. So key value notation was the one notation, controlled natural language was the other notation. Also, this had to be controlled in the way of presenting it to the participant somehow.
It's okay.
And and the language model for the DSL in the sense what was the participant provided to create. The participant had to create some kind of learning module where they had a video and some text pages and some questions. So in the end, the participants had to not just to create one thing, but have a video and then have some questions to this video with multiple answer options and to kind of create this. Yeah, so that was the setting to be used. And for the internals of the language, you have these two notations. So that I call this the storyboard. And that is then parsed on the one side and a definition builder on the other side to internally create a Tickle dictionary, so to boil this down to one representation, and then run through this, create a module which is then visited by an HTML visitor to create a result. So the result that the participants actually then saw was simply an HTML page where they had the video and the multiple choice questions. Yeah? So that was the internals of the language. And for the experiment environment, it's an OpenACS module. It builds on IXO workflow and it integrates the storyboard language DSL. So it's very easily integratable because everything runs on the same technology. So that was really nice in this case. Here you can see a screenshot of this one page interface. I'll get to that in a moment. And it uses the Monaco editor, which provides some autosave functionality. Also has these nice editor services to work with, like auto completion and all this stuff, which it can then customize and focuses on also measuring some variables. So for the environment itself, this is the main page the participants then were presented with. You can see here On the top left side, you have the instructions. So that is what the participants had to do. On the top right side, you have a reference page. So in order to control participants in the sense of telling them, please don't open a second tab and go to the documentation, because I mean, there is no documentation currently for this, the DSL. I integrated this documentation inside these help commands here, where the participants can click on and then got a pop-up. You will see it in a moment. And then on the left bottom side, you have the editor itself. This is the Monaco editor, giving you the options to enter the notation, and then giving you options to run the storyboard and have a preview. So I prepared a short video. Let's see if it works. But you can just see how this works. So this, also here for context, this was the actual first step the participants were presented with, a start button, starting the workflow, where they then were reminded to have a timer prepared for measuring their own time. So we measured the time multiple times, turn off any distractions and stay focused. So just giving them again a reminder. And this is a short run through of creating something with the DSL. So here you have a scrollable field with the instructions for this one treatment. There are multiple treatments with different versions of those instructions. You could copy paste stuff out of there. Then you have the help section on top right. This help section has hovering elements, which is influenced or inspired by the way Tickle has their code documentation. So this was also giving an example at the bottom, but with no copy paste options here. And then you have the editor. And the preview. So now if you just click on this start run storyboard script, you would get an error, which you will see in a moment. And when you're finished, you were instructed to then finish and submit the storyboard. So here you will now see this is entered, obviously a little bit faster. And then you can run this and you will get the actual learning module of the experiment. And this gives you also some error feedback. So if you do something wrong, maybe you get some hint about there's something wrong about this keyword, please look into that, and so on. So that's the main setting. And afterwards, when this is run and the participant says, okay, I'm finished, he will click on finished and we'll get this experiment ID, which he then copy pastes into another actually a Lime survey. So that is the only that's the point of media breaking here, where the participant was then instructed to copy this experiment ID into the Lime survey and then further answer questions about the usability and so on. Yeah. So this is an impression about the experiment environment. Some details about it in the sense of the workflow behind it. So we have this experiment workflow, which has different actions and the states of basically three states. So initial is the start page, and then when we are ready to start, the participant clicks on start, fires the action start, and is in the editing state, where he can always run the storyboard and gets back into the editing state until everything works, so to say. For each state, there is a different form page, XOVQ form page, providing the elements. And and when it's finished, he's basically in the finished state. So that's not too much magic about this, but yeah, this gives you an idea of the form pages used and the states. And for the workflow properties, this came in handy to basically store everything and persist everything within the workflow, such as the time elapsed, so how long did it take for the participant to complete the task, and also for things like first time working was one measurement, and time elapsed for first time working. So first time working was something like checking the validity of the storyboard and seeing if it's working. If it's working, you have this measurement as well and compared to the time elapsed. So all these variables could be used to kind of store this in the workflow. So that was quite handy. Here is something about this one state where you have the different form fields. Yeah. So now I'm not trying to look to the slides, but you have these form fields. plugins here, and each of them basically, so here you have the Monaco editor, for example, as this one form field, and this is all fed into the storyboard XOBT page. So, giving the actions and so on. So, don't know what to additionally say to that, but basically the two things maybe to highlight is this task completion time, which was basically measuring the initial point where the participant clicked start. So here the object save was called one more time to have a new revision, and then afterwards when the participant was finished, the current timestamp was simply subtracted from the first revision creation date. And this was then one part of the time measurement. Yeah? And we had the second time measurement of the participant himself. And then we used the smallest time measurement in order to kind of have some way of minimizing this. And all of this is then persisted inside the workflow, so that's quite handy. Yeah, you can see this again. Okay, for example, here in the end, okay, here was the only point where we actually talked to the database directly, but what's quite nice is that you basically just do everything in this workflow instance. The first time working was the same concept, but simply validating the script and returning 0 or 1 if it's working, and then again calculating the time, which is then the first time working. The nice thing in the end that you can persist these experimental for one participant, you can persist everything. So you, in the end, have your form page here, where you can then export everything as XOT and have all the variables in their time measurement. And also, in the end, for me, I went back to the platform and looked at that's also something we evaluated, like how accurate was the code. Was everything in there? Because even if it's just working, it doesn't mean everything was done that was written in the instructions. So things like this code checking was done by the platform itself. And for the participant himself, he just simply got this final page of the experiment ID and then continued his task in the process of the experiment. So that is like a rough overview of this tool. The tool support for the one phase of experiment operation. And the main takeaways for me were that it's a perfect fit for this concept of the operation of an experiment. Yeah, using XO workflow with the workflow states to control everything and persist also the data into that. Without talking to the database too much, etc. It took me some time to get into it. And I have to acknowledge here, especially the people from the Learn team back then, also especially Antonio, for helping me many times with just getting started. And then once you get it, it's really kind of nice to see how this works. And it also needs to be acknowledged that the measurements, they have their limitations. So obviously this is just the starting point also for the environment. Future directions would be to think about how to include other DSLs or other languages. Refine the product as it is, in the sense of administration and settings. So if you would want to provide this to somebody else, now I'm setting up the form pages for the instructions myself. Maybe this could be done in a more nicer way. Also thinking about upgrading and already tried to get this running with the Dockers provided by Gustav Neumann. So somehow worked, but still some issues with the content delivery. And I would love to use this also in future experiments and then just refine it. So that sums up the experimental tool support for experimentation. Software engineering. Thanks.
Flintstone.
At least you know the Flintstones.
Yeah.
We had some tutors, they didn't know what the Flintstones were.
Okay, any questions?
Sure. How easy is it to have a list of keywords, if you haven't got the right keyword errors? How easy is it to implement new keywords? So
for the DSL itself?
Yeah, for the actual, yeah.
So yeah.
So if you hand off to
I mean, that's quite nice to, I mean, if you have this language model, in the sense of creating another like another class, and then you could basically create this in the language model and then use it in the language itself. So you would have to adapt maybe these words also in the DSL code, but it's not too much setting up. So that's quite nice. So you change the language model in the class instances basically, and these class instances can then be used in the DSL.
Yeah. I was just saying, if you want to start a Git, for example, you've got video question text and you want to animate it, I don't know, nuclear power plant. Right now, but yeah.
So if you would want to have a GIF in some form, you would need to create it as a class related to the object in some form, and then yeah, some small adaptations in the code, but nothing where you had to maybe hard code this GIF then into the DSL instruction.
Is that in the database or is that actual? You've got to.
That is class instances. Right. So this is basically just class. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Cool. Andreas?
Less of a, no, not really a question, but more of a comment. In a sense, you are asking your users to basically evaluate two DSLs to see which is better for basically making a lecture, for example. Or on the other hand, you yourself are actually using a DSL as well to set up the environment and the instructions and all that. So you are also a participant, an active participant who is also trying to work out what is a good DSL for doing your own work. So
you could see it that way, yeah. So also with the tool from HESA, they also have DSL inside this DSL to create the results. So yeah, you could also put it that way.
With your users, it's more an A/B test, and with yourself, it is more iterative. Refinement.
Yeah, it would be a refinement, yeah.
Good. Georg?
Which DSL is more efficient?
Yeah, so the result was that the key value was, more efficient, effective, there was no difference, usability in terms of, there's this scale, so usability, likability, also the key value was the one that people went to actually, and disclaimer here that this experiment was done, in the summer of 2022, before OpenAI and all this stuff happened. So the interesting, it would be interesting to see how this switches now. So key value was kind of winning in the sense of a bit more efficient in terms of time and more usable for non-programmers. Mm-hmm. And also the interesting thing is when you looked into the data that programmers actually didn't prefer the controlled natural language option, which is kind of yeah.
How sure are you that the non-programmers were actually non-programmers?
Yeah, we had a pre-questionnaire. We asked them about their profile, about being a researcher, being a teacher, programming experience. If they had programming experience, we put them in a group, and then we tried to have groups of non-programmers and programmers. And basically, have this even out.
Okay. Reinhard, any questions from the chat?
No.
Okay, great. So thanks to Michael Feuerstein, we make 15 minutes break. So we start again at 11:05. What is this? 11. Is that a good